today we're going to talk about that article in front of you by Steve Watson, Infowars.com. You'll notice the date is July 30th. So I did find it back then, and I thought, I'm going to be talking about this a little bit with my students this year, so I put it on hold. Let's begin reading. A New York-based devil-obsessed cult known as the Satanic Temple used funds from a recent public relations-driven Baphomet statue unveiling in Detroit to fund an effort to undermine legal moves to ban abortion after 20 weeks, as well as other anti-abortion legislation. Breitbart reports that a temple spokeswoman told reporters that proceeds from the $25 and $75 tickets to the event, billed as the largest public satanic ceremony in history, will be used to support the Reproductive Rights Legal Action Fund. Wow! Well, that is really something. So here's the deal. You have this unveiling of a Baphomet statue. That's that figure in that picture right there. You might notice that is also affectionately known by some as the goat's head. Okay, what do you see on his forehead there?
Horns.
No, not his forehead. Yeah, pentagram is what it's called. An inverted five-pointed star is a pentagram, and the upper two points of the star are symbolic of the horns of Baphomet. So anytime you see a circled star that's inverted, it is the signal of Baphomet. And if you need any proof, how about that? It's right there on the Baphomet's forehead. And it is, you know, the six-pointed star is usually known as the Star of David. Five-pointed star, if it's a singular point up, you probably don't have to give it much thought. But if it's an inverted star, typically it's satanic. And typically it is... the upper horns are for Baphomet. Also, some of you funny people out there, you love throwing signals in the air. You have no idea what they mean. This is not just hook 'em horns, okay? This is also shorthand for Baphomet, and it is witchcraft, and it is hexing, and it is you are signaling the horns of Baphomet, basically, is what you're doing. And again, you've got to be mature about this. Don't be stupid and leave here and joke about things. Because even though Satan is not omnipresent, there's something very strange where he has quite the network. Revelation 12 seems to indicate that he has one-third of the angels. And I don't know the total number of angels that there are, but there are some hints in Scripture. For example, Revelation speaks about an army around the throne of angelic of multitudes of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Revelation 5. That's 100 million. And if the devil has a third of the angels, that means he has half of that number. So there's a total of 150 million angels? Maybe. Jesus said I could call 12 legions of angels, 72,000 angels. I guess basically what I'm trying to say is that there are potentially hundreds of millions of angels. And so to say stupid things and to open up yourself for attack, well, it has its precedent. In the book of Acts, there were people casting out devils known as the sons of Sceva. And they were dabbling with the occult, and they said, "We adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preached to come out of that man." So they're casting out devils by a Jesus that they don't know, and it says that the devil came out of the man and tore the sons of Sceva. I mean, ripped their skin, tore them, and they left naked. So he yanks their clothes off of them, cuts their skin. So the demonic, the paranormal, is incredibly deceptive. And here, it is being so normalized. Now, this is kind of in your face. This is really... You have a cult that belongs, has a temple in New York, it seems. Definitely has a temple with a Baphomet statue in Detroit. And what were they doing with the tickets to this unveiling of this temple? By the way, you might notice that he has these little darling little kids around him there in that picture. I mean, he's just... okay, so I hate traveling about as much as I hate going to the dentist. I really do not like traveling at all. But every now and then I travel, as you know. Last March, I was in Bolivia, and we went to a lot of old buildings, old palaces, and they wanted to show us around for a day. We went and checked out this palace on the way to Nature Drive or something like that, and it's the old governor's mansion, of the people that came first to Bolivia from Europe. And so you walk in these rooms, huge high-rise rooms. You know, you go into these rooms and they're archways. You walk through and it's like you feel like you're in Bruce Wayne's mansion, right? Just huge. Everyone been there, Bruce Wayne's mansion. So anyway, you look up and there's these very, they almost look like gargoyles. Could you exercise your neck muscles? Thank you. They look like gargoyles, and they're obviously supposed to be devils. Very clear. Well, our missionary to Bolivia, which is who we were there to see, Luke Marie, who pastors in Sucre and soon to be Santa Cruz, we were in just outside Sucre, and he says, oh, that's, Satan is not bad here. He's kind of considered the honorary uncle. In fact, they call him Uncle. As a matter of fact, I asked him a little bit more about it because I looked in my pictures from the trip and I didn't see anything from of that. I don't know why I didn't take pictures of it. But anyway, he's known as El Tio. All right? That's what the devil is known as in Bolivia and in a lot of Latin American cultures, particularly South America. So I said, hey, man, have you got anything from about the uncle? He says, and he sends me a picture. El Tio Potosi, Bolivia will turn up a lot of images. Be very careful, though. Some are very crude, but it's a big deal in Bolivia. In the city of Potosi, he is celebrated all year long. There are statues of each of the at each of the miners' entrances to El Tio. They pay their respects and offer their offerings to him before they enter their mines to work. This is Satan. They will tell you it's Satan, and they see him as the uncle. You want to make sure you honor him because you do not want him angry at you. So it's not like everyone who believes in Satan thinks he's bad, like them. You know, here, they're going to take the funds that they, in this article, they're going to take the funds that they raised from this statue unveiling, and they're going to do what? They're going to fund abortion. Now, what do you know from the Old Testament about idol worship that might parallel this story? Justin?
Sacrifice children.
Yeah, they sacrifice children, the god of Molech. They would, there's a kind of a hollowed out, as much as possible, a stone statue, but hollowed in the back where you could place a fire. And the statue would be held like, would have arms like this. And if you put a fire in the back of the statue, it wouldn't be long that the arms are red hot, glowing. And if you, in worshiping that god, you would place your infant on those glowing hot arms, and it would expire, your baby would die on those glowing hot arms of those false gods. It's hard to imagine. But that's idol worship. That's why all through the Old Testament, he says, you will not make your children pass through the fire. You will not sacrifice your children to. It's incredibly demonic. We find out from Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, you've got to remember that passage, that false god worship is devil worship. It's what he says it is. There is no neutral ground. You have to remember that. We looked at it at the beginning of the year. So, very clear, Satan worship is anti-life. We read yesterday in John chapter 10 that he's a thief and he comes to steal and to destroy. He's not interested in anyone living. See, there's an entire cult out there. An entire cult out there of popular Satanism. Where they're even funding the abortion industry from the proceeds of a Satan statue. Now then, let's continue reading. Someone begin reading, please, at the temple also.
The temple also has an Indiegogo donation page set up, which it says serves to challenge arbitrary, insulting abortion regulations. The campaign has already raised more than $32,000. The temple supports an on-demand abortion and vehemently opposes all anti-abortion proposals, including the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which requires the physician to first determine the probable post-fertilization age of an unborn child before performing an abortion, and would ban abortion after 20 weeks, except in cases where the woman's life is in danger or rape, incest, had led to pregnancy.
All right, so legislatures of varying states, even at the federal level, are working to make sure, and it's a reality in some states. I think it even is in North Carolina, where, you know, so we can't outlaw abortion altogether. Okay, let's see if we can get close. And they say, can we find out when a baby starts feeling pain? point, make abortion illegal from the point where we know the child experiences pain. And that's what this bill is to support. Well, the Satanist temple is interested in saying, in any regard, abortion should be legal for anything. Well, I mean, all you have to do is know just a little bit about your Bible to know that that is just old Satanism. That's all it is. It's just dressed up in doctor's clothing and government-funded brick buildings called Planned Parenthood. That's all it is. It's just gotten classy and normal to where no one says, I'll bet it's demonic to have an abortion. No one says that. But isn't it interesting who they're funding? I mean, you should see a correlation here. It is not godlike to want to end lives. So someone read next.
The cult clearly aligns itself with the devil, even when they claim not to believe he really exists, has a questionable statement on its website, suggesting that the reason they support abortion is to do with personal choice and women's rights.
All right, so here's some people that really don't believe in the person of Satan, but they love the idea of Satan, and so they celebrate it. We don't have a hard time understanding this concept. Where else does that happen in our culture? You don't believe in the person, but you love the idea, Santa Claus, right? So this is not hard. You're going to look at them and say, you're worshiping the devil that's going to drag you to hell. No, these are not that kind of Satanists. These are cultural Satanists. It's like cultural Christians. You can meet some Christians that are atheistic. They believe in the ideals of Jesus as a moral man and a sacrificial person, and so they love the Christianized morals. And so as a moralist, they're Christian, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Same idea. Next reader.
Not an identification with historical satanic child sacrifice or doing the evil bidding of the Dark Lord then. Had those special interests taken a backseat in this instance. The cult also opposes ultrasounds because they believe them to be an attempt to create guilt and discomfort to those seeking abortion.
All right, so in this act that was in place in July to be voted upon, the idea was before you get an abortion, you have to have an ultrasound. And the idea there is that you'll see, no, this is a living being. You know, an ultrasound, you can hear what?
Heartbeat.
Yeah, heartbeat. And so the Satanist says, no. No, no, that's all that is an attempt to put guilt in the mother. So, it's a living person. Okay, next reader.
The Satanic Temple has recently embroiled itself in a federal lawsuit against the state of Missouri, claiming that the state's laws restricting abortion violate the free exercise of Satanism, and that abortion is an essential religious duty. For Satanists.
All right, there you are. So right there, they're saying it restricts them from exercising a religion of which the founder, the capstone, the hero doesn't exist. Let that be a lesson to you. The word religion is usually only used by people as it benefits them. You can be religious about NASCAR. You don't have to believe in God to be religious. Here's their own confession of that. Next reader.
While the temple says it views Satan purely as a literary figure, not a deity, they still identify as a religion, claiming that Satan stands for rationality, for skepticism, for speaking truth. Child sacrifice and ritual abuse has been linked to Satanism for hundreds of years. The story of ancient Ammonite god Moloch, also known as Baal, says that he demands his followers offer up their own children to be buried as sacrifices.
Burned.
But obviously, modern-day politically correct Satanists can't say they support that now, can they?
So, Ammonite. Anyone remember where the Ammonites came from, by the way? Just talked about this in the 7th grade Bible class. They enjoyed it. No. The Ammonites are not the Amorites. They're not the Amalekites.
Amnon.
No. Ammonites, not Ammonites. Even the Ammonites. Ammonites. They are one of the two resulting ethnicities from the incestual relationship between Lot and his daughters. Remember that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Did you read that part, or were you missing from Sunday school that week? The funny thing is, you can read it on your own. It's very strange. It's in your Bible. It's Genesis 19, and Lot has relations with his daughters on two successive evenings, and he was granted, drunk. And Moses records it like his daughters made him drunk because they wanted to make sure that there were children to live. Because, I mean, I explained to the 7th grade Bible class, if you can imagine, everyone you know is dead. You don't know anyone else. That plane you just came from, or Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar and a few other cities are, everyone is fried, okay? Gone. And it's you and your sister and dad in a cave. That's it. It's pretty much like Noah and his family coming off the ark again. Now, they don't know there's people, like, over the mountain range. It's like that movie Village. It's like, what's over there? Right? So, you know, they don't know there's a world full of people. So they're doing pretty desperate things to keep the human race alive in their minds. And so incest takes place, and one of the children is named Moab, and the other is named Ammon. Yes.
What's a ritual of use?
Yeah. Child sacrifice and ritual abuse has been linked to Satanism for hundreds of years. Absolutely. A great deal of Satanism is free sex movement. And
so they would support, like, pedophilia?
Yeah, they would. Now, of course, they would never get in front of a legislature today and do that, but there's an entire segment of the Psychiatry Guild in America that says that pedophilia is... Well, of course, they do like they used to do with homosexuality. It starts out as a disorder, and then it becomes an orientation. And there are an entire segment of psychiatrists today that would say, psychologists today that would say that pedophilia is an orientation. Well, we've already honored one orientation by saying that they can get married. What's next? We see where we're going with that. Eventually, and so hopefully you can see that when all bets are off and no one's trying to cover up their cards, you know that it's Satanism. You know that it is. So Baal was a god that you'd offer your children to in sacrifice. So you're in your textbooks today in page number 230. We'll talk about 231 of Handbook of World Religions, Josh McDowell, 1983, Handbook of Today's Religions, rather. I just want you to see that there is precious little today that you can get away with saying is neutral. Precious little. Jesus talks about the kingdom of darkness, Matthew 12. Paul talks about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. There is no sort of gray world. Might be gray to us. So, at the bottom of page 230, you see that the author quotes Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And here's... He records what a demon is instructing his apprentice. It picks up top of page 231. I wonder you should ask me whether it's essential to keep the patient in ignorance of your own existence. Our policy for the moment, remember this is one demon talking to a trainee. Our policy for the moment is to conceal ourselves. Of course, this has not always been so. We are really faced with a cruel dilemma. When humans disbelieve in our existence, we lose all the pleasing results of direct terrorism. And we make no magicians. On the other hand, when they believe in us, we cannot make them materialists and skeptics. The fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in the modern imagination, here we go. The fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in the modern imagination will help you. If any faint suspicion of your existence begins to arise in his mind, suggest to him a picture of something in red tights and persuade him that since he cannot believe in that, he therefore cannot believe in you. So the idea here is to make Satan so stupid, so ridiculous, so laughable, that no one could possibly believe in him. And so we have a culture today where we can't fathom this angel that is so ferocious that he would love to damn everyone. So we put him in, you know, Far Side cartoons, we make Halloween costumes out of him, we make movies. So we normalize it. At first it's very scary. I mean, no one wants to watch those horror movies or play those ridiculous games. Unless, of course, it's all fake. Then we kind of get used to it. And the occultic movies, the creaking doors. That's just fun ways to freak each other out, but it really doesn't exist. No one believes in that junk. And if they do believe in it, there's no explanation for it, so quit looking for it. That's kind of the approach. Look down there at the paragraph beginning with, Satan will use whatever method he can to keep people from coming to Christ. If a person has done many things wrong on his life and feels guilty about them, Satan will attempt to convince that person he is not good enough for God and that God would never accept him. So that is a strategy of the wicked one, is to convince people, if they do believe in the spirit world, is if for some reason they do believe in God, if they do believe they're not good enough to go to heaven, make them despair that they'll never be good enough for anything. So once you get a person to the point where they're willing to admit that they are a sinner, and willing to get them to admit that Jesus, the Son of God, really is the only way to the Father, then the question is, how do you keep them from being troubled about their past and tormented about their current state? Because we still have sinful hearts. So, for a little treatment in this regard, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Everyone go there. And let's talk about this. Now remember, I'm trying to paint for you a scenario where you are aware of who you are without Christ. And once you are in Christ, struggling to maintain that state of mind that reminds you that you are good enough, but only because of Christ. And really, that's the only disposition you need to be concerned about. All right, down at the bottom of the page, 231, the last thing we'll read. There's another type of person who is also deceived by Satan, but who has the opposite problem. That person, rather than feeling he's too bad to come to God, feels that he is too good to need God. Since he has never done anything in his life which he considers horrible, he does not feel that he needs a Savior. But friends, no one who is in this state of mind thinks, I'm probably being influenced by Satan. No one does. And I suppose that's the strategy, isn't it? 1 John chapter number 3, and I want us to notice, please, verse number 15 or so. We'll start with verse 14. We'll read one verse each, and we'll start back there with Kenny, and we'll go to Justin and then Jake.
We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death.
Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
But we know
Jacob is next.
By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers.
But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?
Little children, let us not love in word or talk but in deed and truth.
By this we should know that we are of truth, and we assure our heart before him.
For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything.
Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God.
Andy? I'm sorry, you already read Jasmine? Okay, great, Andy. Dylan?
And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him.
And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us.
Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Keep reading.
Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world.
By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God.
And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already.
Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them.
We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
All right, that's good. There's a couple things in here that are really helpful. Number one, in chapter 3, verse 20, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So the idea is you need to make sure you have done an inventory of your heart to find out where it is with the Lord. You need to find out what's in there. You need to find out if you belong to him. And that is why we started with verse 14. One of the many times in this book where the writer says, here's how you can know if the Lord has your heart. Verse 14. You know that you've passed from death to life because we love the brothers. If you don't have this desire to be around God's people, then you're probably not saved. That's what it says. Look at verse 6 of chapter 4. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Who's the us? Who's writing?
John.
Who is one of the... Yeah, if you don't have a desire to hear from God's apostles, if you don't have a desire to read his word, probably not saved. I mean, it's really that simple. Now, I know how you get saved. You know how you get saved. Chapter 5, verse 13 tells us how you get saved. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's very simple. But since a lot of people struggle knowing, have I done that? Have I really put my faith in what Christ did for me on the cross? Well, then here are some tests to find out if you've had that change of heart. And they're all three here. Look at chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. I mean, there's at least seven of them in this book. Chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you have no desire to obey your Lord, you're not saved.
Well, I really don't want to call anyone's salvation into question.
You'd have a real issue with John. John would not be on your Christmas card list. Because he has no issue telling you you're unsaved. He says, a changed heart? If your heart condemns you, you might still be saved. Let's talk about whether or not you are or not. That's what chapter 3, verse 20 talks about. You're not sure if you're trusting Christ. You're not sure if the faith that you have is saving faith. Let's talk about what it's produced. If you don't want to obey God, you're not saved. If you don't want to read the scriptures, if you don't want to hear from God, chapter 4, verse 6, probably not saved. If you don't want to be around Christian people, probably not saved. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. Pretty simple. If you're serving yourself constantly and you don't care, you're not saved. It's very, 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 very plain. So when people find themselves oppressed by the wicked one, the very first thing they ought to be thinking is, am I protected from this wicked one? Am I born again? Now surely, we would not say Job wasn't saved. We would say that he, in the Old Testament, has a significantly different relationship with God than we in the New Testament do, who have the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point of the last verse of chapter 3. Look at it. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit is the absolute super-duper part about the new covenant. Is that we're just new people. And when we don't act new, it bothers us that we're not acting new. It's a little different than wondering if you're saved. It's this sort of, man, I just hate the way I am. And I know that I've put my faith in Christ, and I've got to have this fixed in me, because I know it's not right. That's different than the whole, I wonder if I'm going to hell. No one wants to burn in hell forever. I wonder if I'm going to hell. No. Big difference. Big difference. It's kind of like, and I'll close with this, and I'll let you go a few minutes early. It's kind of like this. I have a 93-year-old grandfather, okay? I want him saved more than anything. Listen to this. Stop flipping pages. Listen. Stop. I want him saved more than anything. I also know that I could just completely bend his arm as much as possible with the fact that he was married to my grandmother for 64 years before she passed away, and how much he won't even want to leave. He doesn't even want to leave his house in Florida because her things are there, and he feels like she's there. He's not safe. He'll tell you he doesn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He's pretty sure he didn't rise from the dead. I've been witnessing to him for as long as I can remember, praying for him longer than that. Okay. So someone that I love says, well, I just keep asking him, don't you want to be a grandma one day? I thought, well, what? Look, I respect that, but what in the world are you saying? Are you saying that if you want to be reunited with your loved ones in heaven bad enough, you can go to heaven? Well, wait a minute. How about this idea of repenting of the lousy jerk you have been to God, telling him you don't need his son for 9 decades? Are we really going to make the thing that gets you into heaven is you are now ready to accept this gift because you want to be with your wife again? And I love my grandfather. I want him saved. But I do not want him dying with this idea that all you have to do is kneel and pray. And as long as you want to be a grandma again, you can put up with Jesus for a few minutes. Lord, come into my heart. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know. No. There will never be a person who goes to heaven hating God. Ever. There will never be a person who resents Jesus that will go to heaven. Ever. Imagine a scenario where you're pulled out of a swimming pool by a lifeguard. Everyone's clapping. You get out, you shake hands with everyone who's clapping, and you spit on the lifeguard. Man, I can't wait to go to heaven. I can't really stand Jesus and his rules, but I cannot wait to go to heaven and be with mom, grandma, sister, brother, dog. I mean, that's the scenario we have, folks. You go to heaven, you don't have to care much about God, but you can go to heaven. Now think about that. That's ridiculous. Now let's paint another scenario. If Jake Stubbs here, big, strapping, broad-shouldered Jake Stubbs, rescued Pastor Bill from a lake, all right? And the mayor says, we're going to give Jake Stubbs a plaque for being a hero. Well, I tell you right now, I'm going to be there. I want to be at the ceremony where the man who saved my life is going to be honored. I'm going to, pardon the term, you hear him preaching all the time, I'm going to fall in love with this guy, you know? Not in this weird, creepy way. Yeah. It's just strange. I don't know how people do that. But anyway, onward, back on track. I would be like, I want to be there. This guy's going to be honored for what he did for my life. I'm going to love everything about this guy. There's going to come a time when I am hoping to be at every ceremony, on the year-long commemorations, every time we get together and commemorate the fact that he saved one of the pastor's lives, I'm going to be there. Because it's natural. It's expected. Really, you should think about whether you're safe from the wicked one in this life, and not just saved from hellfire in the world to come. They are both products, they are both results, both benefits of being born again. And if you're anything like me, you sin. And if you're anything like me, you hate it when you can't seem to control it. Whether it's a temper, whether it's the way you talk to people. You can't stand yourself, and you need Christ, and you know you're desperate for Him. And that is one of the greatest assurances that your heart has been changed and that you are saved. Yeah. Getting saved is not hard. It's not hard at all. So, this is crazy. We need to find Satanists to witness to. Yeah, I said that. You need to find these people. They're crackpotters. We're going to find out later on with witchcraft and spiritism. There are kids that are 13, 14 years old. Their dad hates them. Their mom's a junkie. And they are looking for something that is supernatural where people will love them. Oh, and they find love at a coven if you're from another part of the country. So this is a real deal. This is popular stuff. It's under titles like Wicca. Okay? So you need to get wise about this. All right, you can go.